I truly marvel at stuff like that from the electronic age. I, who grew up with a hand crank telephone, you know, in our home, you know. Yeah. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joel. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. We're going to be talking about the day of the Lord this afternoon. I chose this message. Actually, I wrote it a number of years ago, about 10 years ago, and I went back and edited it out. In dealing with the men at FCC, particularly my guys that I do one-on-one studies with, and I get some feedback with especially one man who's also working with other, doing Bible studies with other men in his area there in the jail. I found that there was a lot of interest in prophecy, particularly end times prophecy. A lot of guys that are just getting into the Bible, so to speak, are interested in the book of Revelation because they've heard some things about things that are to come, and they evidently looking at some of the things that are going on in the world, and they've been drawn to it. And so I've been helping some of them to get some understanding about it. They can transmit it to others. And also that you and I would be aware of what is coming in the future. That indeed, I don't know, we don't know exactly when the Lord is going to return, but some of us may be looking truly into those end times. And as you, especially you younger ones, are going to have, I believe you're going to have more and more opportunity. There's going to be more and more people having this mindset of helplessness, hopelessness about what is coming. What is coming out there? And we need to be prepared to tell them. Because as Joel depicts it, and as the Bible depicts this time, it is going to be a time of terrible, terrible judgment upon the earth. And if anybody is indeed concerned about their lost person, if they become concerned about their mortal soul, they need to know and understand you enter into this time of the tribulation. Very, very likely you're not going to survive. You're not going to get out of it alive. This book, Joel, was written by the prophet. It's called a minor prophet, not that he had anything less to say of import than anyone else, but simply by that he had a little bit less to say. I challenge you, you have opportunity, you can read through this book. Very few books of the Bible you can read through in 10 or 15 minutes. You can this book of Joel. Awesome prose. Very, very much descriptive literature is described in this short little book of Joel. And so I challenge you, read it. We're going to skip through it. We're going to look at it a little bit here, a little bit there. We're going to look at some application for this. God chose this man to introduce to the world the reality that God would one day visit judgment upon the nation of Israel for the sin of idolatry. The book of Joel is a beautiful example of short-term and long-term prophecy. In the short term, some feel that Joel was preaching around maybe 800 B.C. We know that the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom, would go into captivity 606, 597, 586 B.C. So God was being really very patient. He told them what was coming. Unfortunately, most of the people chose to not listen. They would go into the captivity at the hand of the Babylonians, and much of what we're going to look at this afternoon is about the application in his second coming, when the Lord returns to set up his time of the tribulation and the time of the millennial kingdom. We're going to look at this verse in the aspect of the time when God will bring salvation and revival to all peoples, but especially to his chosen people, the Jews. This is the time spoken of in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Jeremiah wrote, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." So there, Joel and other prophets had some pictures about what was going to happen, the way that that judgment, personal or national, could be superseded. But in this message, we're going to look at three aspects of this day of the Lord: when it will be, why it must happen, and who will be involved in it. Let's begin by looking at Joel chapter 1, verse 15. I wish I had time to read this whole book, but we simply do not. I know there's time restraints. I don't like stepping on anybody else's time. Joel chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." When God makes a statement, when he says it shall come, it's going to happen. And again, the short-term prophecy was fulfilled exactly as God said. And in the future, in his second coming, it's going to be fulfilled again exactly as he said. We may not understand all the nuances that are described in this book, in the book of Zechariah we're going to be looking at, and in the book of Revelation. Nevertheless, for believers, as we look on to things, looking forward to it, and most of this, if we have opportunity to see it, it's going to be from heaven. But when we see these things happen and acted out in real-time events, we're going to say, ha ha, yeah, that's what God was talking about right here. So, the day of the Lord, when will it be? The exact timing will be up to the Lord. Generally, for the purposes of this message, we're going to take the time of the Lord as extending from a time at or around the rapture of the saints to include all of the seven-year tribulation and on into the thousand-year millennium, where God will rule righteous judgment for 1,000 years. At the end of that time, judgment will come upon the nations, and we'll enter into the new heavens and new earth, and then that will enter into an eternity. It says in Matthew chapter 24, the exact timing when he's going to return is up to God himself. Matthew chapter 24, in verse 36, as the apostles asked about when the coming of his kingdom would be, Jesus replied in part, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah was entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left." Then God said, he said, "Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh." The admonition is for believers need to be watching and waiting for this to happen and be prepared. And it's interesting, too, Noah, he says it's going to be like the times of Noah. You know, Noah preached for 120 years, and only 8 got on the ark. But I just was thinking about this the other day. We don't know that that was the only people that were saved in that 120 years. There were people living and dying in this time. There were people that, the Bible says that the wickedness in the world was exceeding great. So it may have very well have been just as in the final times, there's going to be many, many martyrs of the saints. It's very, very possible in this time leading up to the flood, that 120 years, their souls saved, and they were being martyred for their faith in Christ, and just those 8 got on the ark. Don't know. That's my own personal supposition. But I know that we have the responsibility, even as Noah did, to be preachers of righteousness, even in the face of deep and great opposition. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, it says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And certainly, you know, in some of the denominational churches, they've had prophets, prophetesses, and so on that have said, well, this is when the Lord is going to come, and this is when it's going to happen, and all this and that. Clearly, if anybody looked at Scripture and they understood what God is saying here, nobody's going to really know. God says, watch and wait and be prepared, but God is going to pick that exact time. He's got it in his mind when he's going to return, but for us, we're just to watch and wait and be prepared. We know at this time, the day of the Lord, it will be in the final days before his return. If we take Jeremiah 30, verse 7, as a starting point, then the time when it will begin would be at around the start of the tribulation. Many of the Old Testament referrals to the day of the Lord speak of a time of great distress in the world. If you're there in Joel, let's look over briefly in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "Blow ye the trumpets in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever like it, neither shall it be any more after, even to the ears of many generations." It gets into some descriptions of what's going to be happening, what happened, what really happened, and what's going to happen in the future. "A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth." Here's a picture. "The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run, like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in array." And it goes on. It's going to be a very wicked time. Verse 10 says, "The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong and executeth his word." And it says, "For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" That term, "very terrible," means exceedingly dreadful. For the people that are in the world at the time the day of the Lord is being executed upon the earth, it's going to be almost an indescribable destruction, terrible, and awfulness. Look there in Joel chapter 2, verse 31. I chose this verse because there is some direct correlation between it and the book of Revelation. Joel chapter 2, verse 31, it says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." You don't see any positive references to the day of the Lord. It's going to be a terrible, terrible time. And the world's people that are thinking about the opportunity that they're going to get through this, that's going to be some little skating rink that they can skinny through by, they need to know and understand it's not going to happen for most of the world's people. Notice the correlation in Revelation chapter 6. I invite you to look there if you have opportunity, but I'm going to read it for you. It says, "And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." And that's a lot what Joel was talking about. And if you remember back in the Gulf War? Remember in the Gulf War when Saddam Hussein burned the oil fields? You ever see, remember some of the pictures? I remember very, very graphically well. The whole sky was black. And the only light that they had on the earth in that area was from the burning oil wells. And to me, if you've ever seen any pictures of Dante's Inferno, what he pictured hell to look like, That's what it looks like. And that's what the world is going to look like. A lot of the world is going to be under a type of a type of judgment. They're going to be under the type of oppression that is not just on one part of the country, potentially over much of this earth. One half of the world's people are going to be killed in two separate judgments of God. Let's go over to Revelation, as long as I have opportunity here. Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. We're going to look at here in a little bit. There's going to be, in succession, there's going to be three types of judgments that are going to be poured upon the earth. Seals, trumpets, and vials. This is the start of it in Revelation chapter 6. This is actually in pick up in verse 7. It says, when he had opened, that's one of the angels, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now picture that. This is going to be a time when hammer blows are going to begin to fall upon the earth. Almost indescribable in the effect it's going to have upon the world's people. Then over in Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 18, it says there, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, this is one of the trumpet judgments, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. These are demonic beings. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Now picture that. And the number of the army was of horsemen was of 200,000, and I heard the number of them. They used to, people that questioned the prophecy of how could there ever be an army of 200 million million. China has already said that they could field 200 million people to cross their borders if they had to. They've got over a billion people. They still have 800,000 people left to guard the home front. This is in the future. They're gaining more every day. And then it talks about them. It says, I have the horses, and I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacket and brimstone. The heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And it says, by these three were the third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Well, we know in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they came with chariots, and they brought smoke and fire, and they burned as they went. They destroyed with the sword, and they burned everything else. In our time, now you're looking at the specter of not just horses, but horsepower. Looking at armored infantry, tanks, that type of thing, that are issuing that. You ever seen what an Abrams tank can do, and it gets smoking down the battlefield? Yeah, they bring fire and destruction. That's part of what's going to be going on. Is that exactly how it's going to happen? Don't know, but it's going to be awful. It's going to take out one third of the world's people. So this day of the Lord will extend through the millennium, when Christ will rule upon the throne of David in the holy city, Jerusalem, and it'll end when he creates the new heavens and the new earth. So, this day of the Lord, why must it happen? Well, if we go back to Jeremiah 30, verse 7, we learn that this is the time of Jacob's trouble, in speaking of the nation of Israel. The purpose of the tribulation is primarily twofold: to fulfill the prophecies concerning the salvation of Israel and to bring judgment upon the sinful nations of the world. Okay, turn back to the Old Testament, to the book of Zechariah. I'm going to be in there looking at a number of portions of Scripture. Zechariah chapter, what do I want here? 12, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. The Bible says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." That's a reference to Psalm 22, verse 16, the messianic prophecy. And so now the Jews are going to finally get a chance and they're going to wake up. They're going to begin to understand what the prophets were really talking about. They're going to have the opportunity put right in front of their faces about the reality of who Jesus of Nazareth was. That he was the God-man, that he was the Messiah, he was the one that they put to death. And they're going to finally recognize him for who he is, because this is what it says. It says, "And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and it shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." And one of the commentators that I read, and I really believe this is correct, he was talking about the matter of true repentance. These people would come to mourn for their sinfulness. They're going to come to mourn for how that they had rejected God for a thousand years. And they're going to come before him, recognizing him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even then, his chosen people, there is no such thing as blanket salvation. There is no such thing when we're talking about national revival. The word is going to get out, I believe, to virtually everyone, just as we try to get the word about to everybody today. It will be a time of great, great revival. They will see much of these things poured out upon the world and their country. And many of them will be brought to salvation. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Zechariah chapter 13, 8 and 9. It's going to be a very, very time, great time of revival. The Bible says that it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire. Do you understand? I'm going to bring them through the fires of the tribulation, the things that they're going through. And I will refine them as silver is refined, and I'll try them as gold is refined. They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. What God has and is and is waiting for from Israel, that is what God is waiting for to hear from every lost person, that God is their Lord. How many people will be left at this time is impossible to say. The Lord's return will be at the end of the seven-year tribulation, just prior to the start of the millennium. We'll turn over to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. I want to read quickly here. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle." And here it is. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. I'd like to read more, but for the sake of brevity, does no one understand? We talk about earth-shaking events. It's going to happen, real time. That hill, that mountain, is going to split open. And the Lord's foot, when he came down in his visible glory, is coming to meet in the. He's coming this time as the conquering king, no longer as the suffering servant, as the Lion of Judah. He's coming with a sword. And if we read the rest of this, you can see that it's going to be a time of great judgment. Back in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, it says, "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day," God says, "that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." I'll tell you what, when God goes to bat for you, look out. It's going to get done. Just like in the, we look forward to the Ezekiel's war, the battle of 5-6, that's going to be one of the great, I tend to think it's going to happen at or before the tribulation, I don't know. But it's going to be all God. People are going to know of him and his power as he works to protect and defend the nation Israel. And so, this is going to be a time of great judgment. Revelation chapter 6 through 20 speak of the judgments that God will pour upon the earth. We talked about that. The seals in chapter 6 and 7, the trumpets, in the chapters 8 through 10, and then the vials in chapter 15. Well, let's look at that. I was going to look at more, but better not. Let's look at Revelation chapter 15. This is the shortest. All of these seven judgments happen in this short little portion of Scripture. Revelation chapter 15, verse 7. It says, "One of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, which liveth forever and ever." And then verse 17 of chapter 16, it enumerates all these things that are coming upon the earth, such as the fourth angel, verse 8, "The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given over him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." And verse 17, the last one, it says, "The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done." Hammer blow after hammer blow is falling upon the earth as God brings judgment upon the world for its sin. But also, he is drawing his people to him. So, the day of the Lord, who will be involved? Well, concerning believers, the church age will come to an end at the time of the rapture, when all true believers, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be airlifted out of this world. And this will happen before the tribulation begins. How long, no one knows for sure. It said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18, Paul wrote, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or not go before them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, it has much to say about this matter of the removal when the believers are going to get airlifted right out of this world. The word rapture does not occur itself in the Bible. It comes from the Latin word rapto, which means to seize or carry off. In the early church, even some of the early Baptists, there was a good, pure Latin Bible. And I think that it may have been that this was where that term comes from. We get that from a carryover from the English. The Greek word that's used here in our text to be caught up, it's the word haparazzo, and it has some interesting meanings. A Greek scholar, Kenneth D. Waste, explained them this way. It can mean to catch away speedily. Acts chapter 8, verse 39, it says that when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. And so in that, took him away speedily. It also can mean to claim for oneself. This views the rapture from the Lord's view, where he comes to claim all those who have been truly born into his family. He's going to pluck us out of this world. And as an aside in that, many people think, you know, that it is going to be a world-changing event, but I personally don't think it's going to be as great a notice as they put on in some of the Left Behind movies and so on that I've heard about. I think that there's going to be so much world stress and turmoil going on in the world, and the Lord's going to time it so that he'll take us out of here, and Satan is going to work, and he's been working now to come up with ways that the absence of all these people, these Christians, will either be downplayed, it'll be overlooked, or some believe that they might just say, well, those filthy Christians, they got taken out of the world, now we can go on and live the way that we want to live. Some say even the space aliens might come and get rid of us as punishment. Well, I don't know. But I do know that God has a plan, that he's in control of it all. It can mean to claim for oneself. It can mean to move to a new place. It can mean to rescue from danger. Now, but predominantly, it's about the nation of Israel. As we've seen from the book of Zechariah, the Jews will be delivered as a nation. It says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, it talks about these two evangelists. Who exactly they are, some posit they might have been Moses, Enoch, Elijah, or so on, don't know. But I know there'll be two living, walking, breathing human beings, Jews, I believe they're Jews, and that they will give testimony in the world. Revelation 11, verse 3 says, God said, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And they will. They have the power to stop rain. It says, the Bible says that the fire will proceed out of their mouth against their enemies. But it does also say that Satan is going to, or the Antichrist is going to be able to kill them. The world's people, and now here it is, you know, with all the electronic media and stuff, the Bible says that for 3.5 days they're going to lay in the streets and people are going to rejoice. Because they're dead. Those wicked people that were preaching against who we are and what we do. And then after the 3.5 days, they're going to get up and they're going to walk away. Talk about a testimony to the power of God. Some people may still even then be drawn to the Lord and believe on Him. There'll be 144,000 that are going to, remember, believers are going to be out of here. They're going to be gone, beginning of the tribulation. There won't be one saved person in the world that I know of, because they're all going to be gone. But God is going to give 144,000 witnesses of the Jews to take the word out in the world. Revelation 7, verses 3 and 4 says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel, 12 from each of the 12 tribes. Most of the Jews don't even know what tribe they're from. God knows. He knows their bloodline. This interesting thing, of all the people groups in the world, which one do you think is the most dispersed across the globe? Jews. And God is working in that way even right now to bring that to fruition. And certainly the lost are the ones that are going to suffer the most in this time, those whom Christ doesn't know, those who die during this time in their sin, or are present at the time of the Lord's return and are not saved, will face certain death and eternal separation from God. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the judgment of the sheep and the goats. Now let's look there. We got a little bit of time. Matthew chapter 25, if I can find it here. Matthew chapter 25. Down a little bit further. Yeah, 31. There we go. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all the nations, and shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left hand. And the sheep are representative of believers. And then at the dawn of verse 41, He shall say also to them on the left hand, that's the goats, that's the lost, depart from Me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so that is what is going to happen just before the millennium, in the time of when the Lord sets up His throne in Jerusalem and begins to judge righteous judgment in and through the earth. So I'm going to hold off there. I know we've got other things to do. Also in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the great white throne judgment. This is a real time happening where that the Lord is going to judge out of the book of life. All those who are not written in the book of life are going to face eternal separation from God. So be thinking on these things. I would ask you, and myself, I'm going to try to get more and more versed in this, because I really feel that in time and times to come, that there'll be more and more people interested in just what we were talking about. And you can say, the Bible has a lot to say about the Lord's return, the day of the Lord. It's going to be awesome. You don't want to be caught in this world when the time of the tribulation comes, because it's going to be real. 7 years. The earth is not going to be scarcely be recognizable for as we know it. I believe it's going to take centuries in the time of the millennium just to get it cleaned up. So I just challenge you with that. I'll be thinking about it. Steel up your own heart and remember that what we have, believers aren't going to have to face that. I'm telling you, if you see the Lord coming, if the believers are taken out of this world, if you're lost, and a brother and sister in the Lord is gone, you better know and understand what you're facing. There is going to be very little or no way out. Just remember, half the people are going to die in just two plagues. If you started off with 8 million people, 4 billion people are going to die. prosper, and you might be one of them. If you can sign to the fires of hell because you didn't know Christ as your Savior, make the choice to believe on it. Okay, that's all I got. You guys head off to the Pioneer Home. Have a good service.